Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new series of road trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. I'm excited to be bringing to you a new series called One Another. Merriam-Webster defines love as a feeling of strong or constant affection for someone or something. But how does that stack up against the biblical definition of love? Jesus says in John 13 and verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another." But what does loving like Jesus look like in our day-to-day lives with our day-to-day relationships? With the help of some amazing guests, we'll take a look at different relationships we have with others and seek to find some practical ways we can better love people, just as Jesus did. In today's episode, my guest and I discuss agape love. What is agape love? And why is it so important in our lives? J.P. Womble is the youth minister at the Germantown Church of Christ in Germantown, Tennessee, and is a graduate of Freed Hardeman University. In this week's show, J.P. helps us define what agape love is, how God demonstrates agape love, and how we can show agape love in our day-to-day lives. I'm Tyler Waugh, and this is Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. All right, J.P. Womble, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to do this with you, bro. Thank you.
Absolutely. I've been wanting to have you on for a while now and excited that we're finally getting to do it. So I gave you a little heads up before we started recording. You know, this series is about like building relationships, interpersonal relationships. We had a series on building a personal relationship with God. And now we're talking about, you know, person-to-person interactions and relationships. So I want to ask, you were a football guy growing up. You still are a football guy. Who were some football icons in your world, either as a Tennessee fan or maybe even getting into the NFL?
Growing up, big Tennessee fan. I love Josh Dobbs. That was around the time I got into football. It was that 2015 Tennessee era. It was great. Our coaches were not great, but Josh Dobbs has always been the guy. Alvin Kamara, of course, now with the Saints, doing huge things now. I love, in high school, of course, I played. I got to play tight end, and it was a great time. So I learned to love Gronk and George Kittle and Travis Kelce and Darren Waller, all of the big guys that get to catch and block. Those are kind of my icons, my idols.
Okay, gotcha. So I played eight-man football. And so tight ends were kind of treated as receivers slash blockers. It depended on your build. If you're, you know, if you're a big guy, like you were talking about, you're probably more blocking. But then if you were kind of a long, skinny guy, you'd be put out on the slot and you'd be playing, you know, just like a wide receiver type. Okay. So that being said, let's get into, we're going to talk about agape love. So let's just define our terms. What is agape love?
So before I do that, I do want to talk about some of the other types of love. Ancient Greek, even modern day Greek, a lot of different words for love. In the English language, we have the word love, and that's kind of it. We say, I love pizza, or I love my mama. And we understand there's a distinction, there's a difference between those two things. And if there's not, I've either got an unhealthy love for pizza, or my mama feels bad because I don't love her as much as I should. We understand there's differences in words. Take the word in the English language, track, for example. We say a track could be a music tune. It could be a railroad track. It could be so many different things. And love is the exact same way. So in other languages, we'll get to see that there are a lot of different words for the same word in English. Does that make sense? The different meanings have different words.
Yeah.
So in Greek language, there were typically four words for love. Only two of which were really found in the New Testament. The first one is eros, which is where we get our erotic love, our deep longing for somebody else, and the erotic nature of that kind of word. The other one is storge, which is familial love. And neither of these words are used in the New Testament, but the two that are philia or phileo, which would be friendship love, like Romans chapter 12, verse 10. It says, let us outdo one another in showing honor. Let me get to that verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's right. So that brotherly affection, it's not just we're just friends. It's a deeper familial love. And then we've got agape love, which is definitely the most common. And this is the love that God has for the world. In John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever should believe in him, should not perish, but have eternal or everlasting life. And you get to see that the word agape is not technically used there, but it is 100% the root of the word and the verb that is used there. So God has this love for the world. He's got this love for his children. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 tells us that we get to see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And the love, it's also the love we're supposed to emulate to God, others, and ourselves. In John chapter 14, we get this really beautiful picture. This is, of course, in context of the Last Supper. And in John chapter 14, Jesus says, if you love me, agape, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you will also live. And then we skip down to verse 23. Jesus answered him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come and make our home with him. Whoever does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. I skipped over 21, which is the most important one there. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. The agape is prevalent throughout the New Testament, especially in the teachings of Jesus. Definitely the most common translation of love in the New Testament. So that's kind of broad stretch of what it is.
I think what I get out of that is basically agape love is kind of like love regardless of feeling.
Right way to say that.
You
know, yeah.
Kind of like what you're saying, what Jesus says, like, if you love me, simply put, you're going to obey me. You're going to do what I've commanded you to do. And that's not the kind of love that we see in the world. Now, I looked up yesterday, just kind of prepping for this and for a sermon, you know, what does Merriam-Webster say, you know, what love is? And one of the first, you know, words it says is a feeling or an attraction towards someone. That's not really the kind of love that we see Jesus really talking about. And it's not really the kind of love that we see God demonstrate when he sent his son, like how you mentioned in John 3:16. And so I like that answer.
I think you talking about that I'm going to love without almost reason. There's a song called Reckless Love. It's a contemporary Christian song. I personally don't like the title. It talks about God's love for us and how it's reckless. I think reckless is too loose of a word, but the image in that and the illustration the artist is trying to portray is that God is going to love you no matter what. He has put forth his love, and all we have to do is accept it. And I think of Luke chapter 6, if you love those who love you, what good are you? What good is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. It says there's got to be this distinction between love of the world, this feeling. What can I get out of this? What do I gain? Versus I'm going to do this because I love you. And I may not even know you, but if I love you, I'm going to do this for you. And then it's cyclical to go back to Matthew chapter 22. Verses 36 to 40, the first and greatest commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, mind. And then, hey, we love each other just as we love ourselves. If I love God, I'm going to love others. Because there is no, what's my goal? What's my gain? My gain and my goal is to love God and get to serve him and get to go be with him one day. And then I'm going to love others. And then by loving others, I'm showing others that I love God. And by loving God, I'm loving others. And it just goes in a circle. And when I think of agape love, it is cyclical, perfect, unconditional love. Unconditional. I think that's a good term for it.
I love the way you put that and just kind of how, well, I mean, you talk about Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount saying, love your enemies. If you just love those who love you, then it's really no good. And then you think about how Jesus actually demonstrated that on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." So I think that's just a powerful example. And obviously we can look to the life of Jesus to show how he demonstrated that kind of love. And I think we've kind of been dancing around the next question. How has God demonstrated agape love? And maybe how does he continue to demonstrate agape love?
Fantastic question. I love this. So to bounce off of our last question and bring an answer in, it's unconditional. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, once again, what great love he's lavished on us. We think of lavishing. That's not a word we use often, but you think of a full covering, a sanctifying almost, if you will, because it does. And then we go from unconditional in 1 John 3, 1. It's also sacrificial. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, probably the most simple verse that encapsulates the gospel. Christ died while we were still sinners. God shows his love for us in this. While I was still a sinner, Christ died for me. We want to talk about that sacrificial, unconditional love. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 is where it's at. I mean, that is awesome. That I didn't do anything to earn that, but he did that because he loves me. And that's something we're never going to completely understand, but I know that he did that, and I understand that he did that for me. I don't know why, but I know he loves me. And man, that, wow.
I think not this past Sunday, but the Sunday before, we just kind of went through Ephesians chapter 2. And I think Ephesians 2 kind of maybe goes into more detail than the verse that you were referring to there in Romans, how you were dead in your trespasses, you were dead in your sin, and then there's but God. You know, and I said there's probably been like more sermons that are called but God than like any other title.
Yeah.
You know, in the chapter. And it's important. Like, it's important that we understand that it wasn't what we did. It wasn't like the work that we put in. It was what God did. It's what God did through Jesus on the cross. And I think that that's important for us to understand, and that he continues to give us that opportunity. He continues to give us that opportunity to be reconciled to him, to come into a relationship with him, to be called his child. And so, and it's like you said, you know, we can't, you know, we'll never be able to fully understand it or fully understand God's love for us. You know, the way I've heard, you know, it kind of explained as we talk about agape love and kind of loving regardless of feelings, love with sacrifice. I've heard a lot of people compare it to obviously raising kids and marriage too. I love talking to people who have just been married for 60, 70 years, and they'll tell you that it wasn't always perfect. There were times when like I didn't feel like putting in the effort, but I love that person. And so I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to put in the work, and I'm going to do it no matter what I feel like. And I think that that's a good picture for how we can live our lives and maybe our attitude towards God. I think some days we're not always going to be feeling it, like, I don't really want to pray, don't want to come to worship, but we do. Mm-hmm. And when we do, we're showing that love towards him. I don't know how I got off on that, but yeah, I was just thinking about what you said there.
Thinking about how he continues to show that love to us. Obviously, one of the biggest stories that shows God loves you no matter what is the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And I always come back to this one verse in it, and I'm sure a lot of people do. Let me find it. Verse 20, Luke chapter 15, verse 20. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him. And then, of course, they throw the great feast. He says, "This son of mine has returned. He was dead. He is now alive again," which goes back to what you were talking to in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4. But God, because of his great mercy and the love with which he loved us, made us alive. And I think about that Luke chapter 15 passage, and I think about how he saw him, because he was looking. You don't see something unless you're looking for it. You don't see something unless you're seeking it. And God never turns his back on us. We can turn our back on God, but how does God continually show his agape love to us? He's always looking. And he's waiting. And a lot of the times it is, hey, I need to make it right. I got to make a change. And I think God can definitely work in miraculous. I know that's a word we're sometimes cautious to use, but God can definitely work in miraculous ways and say that I'm going to open this person's heart. I'm going to not make him love me, but we know that God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and I believe he can soften ours. How does he continually show his agape love? He's looking for you always.
Absolutely. So you've referenced a lot of scriptures so far, and I appreciate that. What are some other verses, chapters, books of the Bible that maybe talk about agape love, or maybe one that, you know, that you would tell someone to turn to if you want to learn more about agape love?
Definitely the first one I would say is 1 John 3:1. Once again, I'll say it again because it's so important. See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we get to be called children of him. I mean, we get to be called children of him. It's not something, once again, that we earn. It's not something we parade pretentiously and say, look at me, I'm a child of God. We can boast in the cross, just as Paul says in Galatians chapter 6. We can boast in his death. But it's not just about, oh, look at me. It's about, look at God. Matthew chapter 5, we're told to be wary and be careful when we practice our righteousness, because who's trying to get the glory? Is it me, or am I trying to give it to God? I want to be seen by others, so they give it back to God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. And then I think of, so once again, that 1 John 3:1, and I think of unconditional, sacrificial, once again, Romans 5:8. And then the highest form of love is agape love. And when you think about what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 13, he says, greater love, greater agape has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. But what did Jesus do? Lay down his life for each and every single one of us. And I think about that. And I mean, the New Testament is filled. My friend Grady posted on Facebook just a few months ago, and he said, if you could encapsulate the Bible in just a few words, what would you say? And I believe my response was, God loves you. Because when you look at the story of Scripture, the Old Testament to the New Testament, all of it, especially New Testament, when we talk about agape love, it's a love story. The story of Jesus, the gospel, all of it is a love story. Why did he do any of it? Because he loves you. Because he loves me. And it's so prevalent and present throughout the entirety of it all. I think, let me think of another one. I think of Luke chapter 6, where he talks about loving everyone, regardless of circumstance, regardless of whether you like this person or not, you're supposed to love them. And we use that word supposed to. Maybe we could just say, I get to love them. We love because he did what in 1 John chapter 4? Because he first loved us. Man, this is a love story. The entire thing is a love story.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really good. I had a teacher in high school, and anytime someone would say, do we have to? He would always say, no, you get to. Yeah. I don't know if I've heard of a lot of people saying that, but that was always, it always kind of make me mad. But then I'd be like, oh, well, yeah, you get to. I heard the Boston Celtics coach, you know, talking about some criticism that his teammates were taking after winning the championship. And he was basically like, yeah, you get to take this. This is your life. You get to compete for NBA championships. And that's an amazing way to look at it. I know it's hard to have that mindset towards people, because people can be difficult. I can be difficult. And so, you know, if we just had that mindset of like, man, I get to be a part of, especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, I get to be a part of this body. God has shown this amazing love, and I responded to that love by confessing him as Lord and being baptized. And I said, hey, now I get to be a part of this amazing, loving community. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. That's a good mindset to have, of just saying, hey, I get to do this. I get to be a part of this community. I also think, of course, of Romans 8, 31 through 39, mm-hmm. just about how nothing can separate us from that love. And it's like you said with the prodigal son, of course, we can turn our back on God. We can reject him, but God doesn't do that to us. And so I think that's an amazing thing. And then you're saying broadly, the Bible really is, you know, about God rescuing his people by his love and through his love. And I think that that's a good point that you brought up there.
I think my dad would say that all the time. Dad, do we have to go to church today? Dad, do we have to clean the house? Dad, do we have to do this? No, you get to. And I, man, you said that and it was like, oh, that's my dad right there. And I think about what that mindset and how important that mindset is for Christians to have. Oh, I have to go serve this person. No, you get to go serve that person.
Yeah. So let's kind of shift gears here. Where have you seen agape love recently?
So I'm a youth minister and I get to see, there it is again. I didn't even think about the way I said it. I get to see agape love in a lot of different things and a lot of different ways and a lot of different people because of the role that I'm in. And because I spend so much time with our kids, I've been here. This will be month 9 in 5 days. Will be 9 full months at Germantown. And I think about the relationships that we've grown and we've gotten to love each other and love God more. And the way that I've seen the kids grow has been incredible. And that's a lot of the way that I've seen agape love. Just this past Sunday night, we had a Devo. We had dinner in Devo. And we got around a campfire and sang songs like you do. And one girl was sitting off in the back kind of by herself just because there wasn't an open seat. And one of our boys got up, went over further away, picked up a chair, walked it back, and had that girl sit there. And he said, here you go, I got you a seat. So she could be a part of the circle. And I think of another guy named Zach in our youth group. Zach will always, always, always hold the door for you. And it drives me crazy because I'm supposed to be the adult. I'm like, Zach, go. He goes, nope. Zach, get in the door. Nope, you go first. Zach, go. Mm-mm. Okay, fine, Zach. Because I'm trying to be this big example of agape love, but what kind of example is he to me? And so when I think about grabbing a chair and I think about holding a door, just those simple, simple little things, which goes back to the sacrifice doesn't have to be a big sacrifice. It just says, I'm going to show you love in this small way. I'm going to let you go first. I'm going to let you sit down, whatever it may be. And I think of Matthew chapter 10, verse 42, where Jesus says, just a cup of cold water is not going to go unnoticed. Just a cup of cold water in my name. I mean, I think about that and I think about the little things. The way I get to see agape love played out is through little things. Door holding, getting chairs. I mean, kids have such pure hearts and it's so awesome to see. And I get to see agape love through a lot of our kids. And I get to see that same love through their parents when I think about how their parents are raising them to do those kinds of things. And once again, it goes back to being cyclical. When those kids do it for people, you know they're doing it for God. And because they're doing it for God, they're going to do it for people. And it goes back to this circle. And it spins and it spins and it spins. And it's so cool when we look at it that way. So I get to see God in a lot of the little things that happen in my life. And it's awesome. I get to see agape love in those little things.
I love that. You know, we had a whole episode about like just noticing God in the day to day. And we ended up talking a lot about seeing God in other people. And we kind of made the point that if you're looking for God every day, then you'll find him every day. And this, the opposite is true too. If you're not looking for God, then you're not going to find God. I'll say that, say I hear a lot of that out of that answer, because you're looking for it. And sometimes with what you do with those kids, they're showing it to you. Mm-hmm. And like that point you made at the end, I love, it's not lip service. It's a devotion to God and it's showing love to God. And I love, you know, I love that you say, you know, it can be the little things. It can be just the simple, those simple acts, because I think sometimes, you know, I think this may be true about a lot of Christians. You know, we think about like who should we should be like as Christians, and we're like, I don't even know where to start. You know, I don't even know. I've got to do this like big thing. I don't know if that's true. You can just start, you know, with small things, like you're saying. You know, I love your answer on just seeing the little things and just noticing God's love. Because going back to agape love, those are things that you don't have to do. Those may be things that you don't.
That is a great definition. The things you don't have to do, but you do anyway because you love.
Yeah, exactly. And that's and fantastic. Just those may be things that you don't like feel like doing even, but you do. And you know, hopefully, you know, like you were saying, you're mentioning Matthew 5 and 6. You know, hopefully it is for the glory of God. I personally have struggled a lot with kind of doing those good deeds with the intention of, oh, I want others to see me. And so that has been a battle, and I'm sure other Christians struggle with that, but
I think every single one of us struggles with that.
Absolutely. Yeah. But I've seen so many Christians who you can tell, they don't care what others think. They care about what God thinks. And I think that's just a special thing to see.
It is. I think about, there's one word we use it a lot, and it's ironic that we use it so much. And I think you're just going to be like, oh yeah, when I say it, but intentionality.
Yep.
And we use it so much that even the word intentional has become unintentional.
Mm-hmm.
But the little things, to rope football back into it, any sport that you get to play, any sport that you do, it's about the little things. If you're shooting a basketball and your thumb is just an inch off of where it needs to be, you're going to miss. If you're playing football and you don't have the correct split from your offensive lineman, somebody's going to get through you and you're going to get hurt. If I don't put my hand in the right place, if I don't do the littlest thing correctly, it's not going to go right. And I think we live in a society that says we've got to be big, we got to go all out. You look at Mr. Beast. Oh, I gave so many people X, Y, and Z, and I helped them, okay? I've got to go be some big, grandiose helper and charity guy. When in reality, we're called to give a cup of cold water because we're disciples.
So last question here, just kind of as we close this last question, we kind of talked about some ways, but if you have anything else, what are just some practical ways we can show agape love towards other people?
So I got a couple things and thoughts here. I've been on a huge kick over the past few months, maybe even year or two, probably year, of praying and reading the Bible. And it is just so elementary. And that's the word I use a lot. So read your Bible, pray every day. You're going to grow, grow, grow. And if we neglect them both, we're going to shrink, shrink, shrink. We sing that VBS song. But it's true. And at some point, I would say maybe middle school or high school, we lose the emphasis and focus on prayer and Bible study. We just say, hey, we need to do those things. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to read. Okay. And then we don't do those things. But when you truly sit down and you pray and you read your Bible, you will be transformed. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 tells us to not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The only thing that can renew our mind spiritually is to pray and read our Bibles. And then that is how I test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I pray, I read my Bible, and then I do what it says. It starts with me and my relationship with God, which is ongoing. It is never something, oh, I got it. No, you don't. I'm a permanent student is what I've been told. And I love that. I'm a permanent student and learner. I pray and I read and I want to live it out. And I'm going to look for opportunities. We pray a lot for opportunities. We say, hey, we need to look for opportunities. Do we always take them? Oh, there's an opportunity. Oh, bye. And we leave it at that. Say, well, I saw the opportunity. Which once again just goes back to that word of intentionality. Am I really doing what I can, what I should be doing? Ultimately, our answer is always going to be, I'm not doing enough. But the second our answer says, yeah, I've done enough, is the second we're in a lot of danger. Contentment is a really good thing when we think about agape love. 1 Timothy 6:6 tells us that godliness with contentment is great gain. If I understand that I'm a permanent student and that I need to be intentional and that I get to love God and others and myself, I'm okay. But the second I say, I've done good, I'm going to sit here for a while. Somebody else can do it. Oh, there's an opportunity. I'm just going to look at it. And I don't take the opportunity and I'm not intentional and I become complacent. That's when I become in danger of something a lot bigger than just a missed opportunity.
Yeah. So I guess just to recap, prayer, scripture reading, and then not just, you know, praying for opportunities, but also taking advantage of those opportunities. I've noticed that just kind of in my own life. Like, I did that podcast episode, you know, on looking for God. You know, I did a, you know, just in day-to-day life, and kind of like what you were saying, like, kept seeing those opportunities, but I didn't always take advantage of them. And I think that that's big for us, because I really think that a lot of us as Christians are seeing those opportunities. But man, I do this. We come up with excuses and we're like, I'm too tired. Or another excuse we can say, well, maybe that person doesn't want to be approached. Maybe that person doesn't want to be talked to. Yeah. Maybe I'll make that person uncomfortable by bringing up Jesus. And so we can kind of excuse ourselves out of it a little bit. But it goes back to what we were talking about at the very beginning of what agape love is. And it is that prayer and scripture reading, and reading it and understanding what the will of God is and understanding what he expects out of his children. There's a life to live. We're called to live and walk in good works. And so, are we taking advantage of those opportunities mm-hmm. to show that agape love towards other people? That's an important question for us to sit with.
You just said, we all do this one. Oh, I don't want to approach that person. I'll make them uncomfortable. Oh, they don't want to hear about that. Oh, they don't want this. They'll never listen. They just don't want to be a Christian. Whatever that is, I just want to say, I thank God that he didn't have that attitude towards me. Mm-hmm. Because what if he did? Well, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. And if he wouldn't have sent Jesus, none of this. We're not here right now. I mean, I thank God he didn't have that attitude of, JP's not going to listen. I know JP's going to get into a lot of sin. JP, he doesn't care. He'll never care. We don't know. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all I can ask or even imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And I think about that. He can do more. And for me or us as Christians to say, they'll never listen, shame on us. I used to think, going back to prayer, and I've developed this prayer life or this prayer in my own life of, if I believe God can, I'm going to pray like God will. God, I know that that person does not love you today, but I want them to. Maybe you'll give us tomorrow, God, and I want you to give me tomorrow with that person. My friend Jerry Elder, you know Jerry, I'm sure. Jerry always prays. He ends his prayers with, God, I pray you give us one more day for one more soul. And I think about agape love, that unconditional. You don't know who that's going to be. We don't know who that may not be. But what if we prayed like that? One more day for one more soul. Unconditional, sacrificial, highest form of love. Because God, you've done this for me. I want to help other people get what I have. And I said this a few weeks ago. There's a big identity crisis today in our country, across the world, wherever. People say, what's my calling? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There was an Oxford professor who even ended a speech by saying, I'd give anything to discover my purpose. And I think about how some people would give anything for something, Tyler, that you and I have had our entire lives. And we get so selfish. Everybody does this, and I'm not just harping on the two of us. But that agape love, that unconditional love, not for them. I don't like that guy. No, not for her. And I think about the selfishness. And I think about that and the attitude. But to go back to attitude once again, I get to do this. This is what I get to do. I want one more day for one more soul. And if we can develop that attitude, wow. I mean, talk about agape love. That's it.
Man, you said a lot of good stuff there.
Yeah, that was a lot. I'm gonna get off my soapbox now. Let me kick that.
No. I wish you could have kept going. But man, JP, this has been a great conversation. Thank you so much for
yes,
coming
sir,
on
dude.
The show.
I sincerely appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thanks for listening to another episode of Road Trips, Navigating Life with Jesus. This podcast is in partnership with Ministry League. You can download their app or check out their social media pages or YouTube channel to find all the great resources they have to offer. We'll be back next week with another episode of Road Trips.